Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Midday News. The news is live on Joy 99.7 FM, hits 103.9 FM in Accra, on Love 99.5 in Kumasi, myjoyonline.com, also live in all 16 regions of Ghana via our various affiliates, live on X Spaces, Facebook. The Midday News is supported by Petrosol Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. Coming up, with less than 24 hours to the Akwetia parliamentary by-election, 5,500 police personnel have been deployed to the constituency as the Inspector General of Police declares all polling stations weapon-free zones.
Even VVIP and bodyguards to ministers, parliamentarians will not be allowed to carry their sidearms or weapons into the polling stations.
But the NPP has activated what it calls Operation Firewall.
Firewall here is to defend.
What does that mean?
External intruders who will be coming in, who are not genuine, who are going to be opposing. And that is what we are going to do.
But the NDC is counting on developments it has undertaken in the constituency to win the seat.
Bernardo cannot show, the NPP cannot show, that under their 8 years reign, they have even been able to take community financing transfer. They are within the backyard of the president.
Well, we'll also hear from the Electoral Commission. Also coming up, festival and ritual-related gun incidents claim at least 10 lives in less than 5 years, as Fresh Joy News research reveals fatalities are increasingly concentrated in the Greater Accra region.
The gunshots that was going on, bro, I don't know where they got the bullets from. For like 30 minutes continuously, the gun was just flying. Even this morning, I learned more people didn't open their shops because they are afraid it will happen.
Well, we have details and the analysis plus latest from the police who are on a manhunt for the perpetrators. Also, a state of despair in Sola, Tuna, Kalba and Bole areas as makeshift camps struggle to contain thousands of victims of the Benguela conflict as some struggle to live on one square meal a day.
And the other ye omuma ye once the yanya do any bi. Tama mo de mai kura na ko bobe fo ana sey.
Pa kuna xe una no na odi aba biduru a. Yese wi si hata. E wo na wa san se. Wuni hwiye wo san ku fiya kofa.
Where sports.
Black Stars defender Tariq Lamptey leaves Brighton for Italian side Fiorentina on transfer deadline day.
Also, recent changes in government financing for the Public Interest and Accountability Committee, PIAC, have left the body unable to pay staff salaries and hindered its capacity to monitor the management and use of petroleum revenue.
To some extent, even payment of salaries to secretariat staff. Is it a political tool intentionally used by government? I could say the risk remain higher.
Well, PIAC is demanding President Mahama's intervention. These and more coming up with me, Mamie Senior Miche Thompson. Stay for details. This afternoon, with less than 24 hours to the Akwetia parliamentary by-election, the Inspector General of Police has declared all polling stations in Akwetia weapon-free zones, warning that anyone found carrying arms or offensive objects will be arrested and prosecuted. The move follows heightened political tensions in the constituency, where past elections have been marred by violence and allegations of intimidation. Already, 5,500 police personnel have taken over the constituency. According to the police administration, the officers will be strategically positioned across the constituency to secure polling stations, protect electoral materials, and maintain law and order throughout the voting process. Here's the police director of operations, COP Vance Baba Gariba.
We have deployed 5,500 police personnel for this by-election. All the personnel have gone round to familiarize themselves with their polling stations and the electoral areas where they will be performing their duties. As part of these engagements, the police personnel will get themselves involved in community engagements to reassure the communities, the electorates, that they should not fear. They should all come out and cast their votes, exercise their rights. But let me also indicate that the military will be only on standby. As and when we need them, then we will deploy them. But if we don't need the military, we will not request for the deployment of the military. We want to emphasize that if you are not accredited to a polling station, you have no business at the polling station.
Well, he also announced a series of measures adopted by the police to ensure safety at the polling and the collation centres.
We may not infringe upon people's rights, preventing them from riding their motorbikes. However, these motorbikes will only be entertained 100 metres away from the polling stations. And we will not encourage pillion riders during this period where we have the by-elections. The Inspector General of Police has announced zero tolerance for weapons. What it means is that even VVIP and bodyguards to ministers, parliamentarians, will not be allowed to carry their sidearms or weapons into the polling stations. They may have to hand over their weapons at the police stations, then they can accompany them into the inner perimeter of the police stations. On the other hand, they may not be allowed to accompany them. They may stand 100 meters away from the polling station and wait for their principals.
Well, we'll hear from the political parties shortly. First, though, how ready is the Electoral Commission? And joining me on the line is the EC Director of Electoral Services, Benjamin Banabiel. We're grateful for your time, sir, on our midday news. Is the EC ready for tomorrow?
Yes, I can assure you that the Electoral Commission is ready for tomorrow. As it is now, all the materials that are required for the election are all ready. We have finished screening our officials. The BVDs have been sent to the constituency. Packaging of materials is ongoing. And at dawn tomorrow, we'll distribute the materials to all the 119 polling stations for voting to start at 7 a.m.
And will this arrangement for Akwetia be the same or different from other by-elections that have gone by?
The arrangement for Akwetia by-election will be the same as we've been doing for other by-elections. The only new thing is that this time we have a tablet that the results will be scanned at the polling station and then sent to a dedicated portal. That's the only new thing that we have added. We started it from Abrikuma next, and we are going to continue with it in the Abrikuma. So in the Akwetia by-election.
Also, there have been so much talk about security, and I want to understand whether you have an assurance from the police for your officers to operate in a safe environment.
Yes, we have had a lot of interaction with the police, and the IGP has assured us that they are going to ensure effective security. They provided a lot of strategies that they will put in place to ensure effective security. And we could all see that they have started with it. So we hope and pray that it continues this way so that people of Akwetia can go about their voting rights in a very peaceful manner.
Right, we're grateful for your time, Mr. Benjamin Banabio. He's EC's Director of Electoral Services. And also, Akwetia can be described as a swing seat because the New Patriotic Party and the National Democratic Congress have both won it four times. And this makes the stakes so high. The Deputy General Secretary of the NDC, Mustafa Gbande, is optimistic the development projects undertaken so far in the constituency will win the party the seat.
We, after being in power for 8 months, are commissioning a very huge edifice of a decentralized EVLA complex, which is going to employ about 200 people. All those people are from Abuja constituency. That's a first track record. We have also demonstrated the commitment of government in terms of regularizing and transforming the mining sector to the benefit of the community and the people. And we are very happy with that. The NADO cannot show, the MPP cannot show, that under their 8 years' reign, they have even been able to take community mining to Abuja, which is the backyard of the president and Africa. They haven't been able to show. We have also shown the commitment of President Mahama in terms of what Feed Ghana program is, in terms of enhancing cocoa farming, the scholarship packages for the farmers, reintroduction of the free fertilizer, reintroduction of the mass grain, which government policy is going to be initiated. Engaging the people. So clearly, out of hard work, we are going to win. What?
Well, the NPP is not taking any chances. The Deputy General Secretary, Haruna Mohammed, says the party has activated what it calls Operation Firewall to protect the ballot.
The IGP, I have a very trust and confidence in him. He should not let this election tempt his credibility. We know that the NDC is preparing to give uniforms, police uniforms to the attack, who they had used in various elections, and they are going to hand over police uniforms to them, and they are going to mask them. That is why we are saying that any masked person will be treated as a tag. So today, we are pressing the button of Operation Firewall.
Well, Joy News is on the ground live, and we have comprehensive coverage starting this afternoon on the Joy News channel on all our platforms, so do tune in. Well, news coming in, we understand that the committee looking into the CJ case has offered their report to the president, and Elton Brobe joins me in studio with more on this. Elton, what do we have?
So, Mamie, so what we are learning, this just happened. So the committee led by the Supreme Court Judge Gabriel Kwamam met with President Mahama and presented their report to the president. The report is contained in a sealed envelope. They will not disclose details of the report plus their recommendations, but I can just read to you part of a conversation that took place between the committee and President Mahama. Part of it reads, and this is the account of the chairman of this particular committee. He says there's been considerable interest in our work shown through comments and opinions by Ghanaians and international observers as well. However, the committee restrained itself all along from reacting, even when blatant false statements made about members of the committee and our work. To the committee, our mandate and remit are set out under Article 146, Clause 7 and 8 of the 1992 Constitution is clear, and to inquire into the petition in camera, hear the persons as in whom the petition have been brought in her defense by herself or by a lawyer or other expert of her choice, and then to make recommendation to the president. As I have said upon, three petitions were referred to us, and though all three petitions seek the same relief, each petition is distinct and would succeed or fall on its individual strength and weaknesses. Mr. President, without disclosing the substance of the proceedings, and since in-camera proceeding is not the same as in secret, we can state that in respect of the first petition, we received evidence by Mr. Daniel Ofori, the first petitioner, through 13 witnesses. Similarly, the Chief Justice in her defense also called 12 witnesses, including expert witnesses, as she is entitled to do under the Constitution. The Chief Justice testified personally at the inquiry and was cross-examined. The committee received about 10,000 pages of documentary exhibits from both sides. There were four lawyers that represented the first petitioner and four lawyers representing the Chief Justice. The President, after critical and dispassionate examination and assessment of all evidence, including the expert evidence against the provision of the 1992 Constitution and the relevant laws, we are without fear or favor arrived at the recommendation on the first petition. The recommendation is contained in this envelope, which we hereby handed over to you. The second petition, as well as the Chief Justice, pleaded with the committee that the second petition, which would have been next to be inquired into, be adjoined, and we acceded to their request. So This is the conversation that took place with President Mahama and the committee.
Right.
The recommendation has been forwarded to the president in a sealed envelope, details of which we are yet to be told.
All right. Thank you so much, Elton, for that update. Well, Joy News can confirm that festival-related gun violence has left at least 10 people dead in less than 5 years, with new research showing the Greater Accra region emerging as their hotspot for the deadly clashes. Available data show incidents are not confined to one region. They spread across southern and northern Ghana. However, festivals in the national capital and central regions appear most prone to violent clashes tied to chieftaincy disputes and youth group rivalries. We'll get into the figures shortly, but first, let's go to Sochum, where the latest shooting incident during the sprinkling of Kwaboy resulted in the death of three persons on Saturday. Collins Rimpon visited the area and reports.
The incident happened in one of the busy trading hubs in Sotium, surrounded by several container shops. At the location where one of the deceased fell, a closer look revealed blood droplets, but a tire burnt at the same location smears the blood marks. Some of the aluminium containers had bullet holes in them and shattered glass windows. The area was quiet as opposed to the vibrant Sunday sales. An eyewitness recounted what happened.
The gunshots that was going on, bro, I don't know where they got the bullets from. For like 30 minutes continuously, the gun was just flying. We just asked what was the problem and we were told, you know, when people were having their home war and they wanted to come and sprinkle quickly here. But this place is for the Sotium land. So the Sotium people said, no, they won't allow them to come and sprinkle quickly here. That is the fight.
Another woman who was so shaken by the incident said many of the traders fled the scene to avoid being hit by stray bullets.
Yesterday, they destroyed all our wares, including our glass containers. As you can see, when the situation later got worse, we fled into people's rooms to hide out of fear. By 3 p.m., we closed all shops and took our children home.
At the time of our visit, there were no police or security officers at the scene. Some residents are still afraid to come out or even open their shops, fearing reprisals.
No, yesterday the place was quiet. I mean, everybody closed the shop. But this morning, even this morning, I learned more people didn't open their shops because they are afraid it will happen. And it will happen. As at when, I don't know, but it will happen. We live in the area. We know how the area is.
Well, the police says they're on a manhunt for the perpetrators of the killing incident. Here are excerpts of a statement from the Accra Region Police.
The police statement signed by Superintendent Julian Obi indicated that a misunderstanding between supporters of two rival chiefs during the sprinkling of the traditional food Kwokwe at Sotum led to the confrontation escalating into an exchange of gunfire. The violence resulted in the death of three individuals who have since been deposited at the police hospital morgue pending autopsy. Three out of four other injured persons are also receiving treatment. To restore calm, the police command has deployed additional personnel to the affected areas and initiated intelligence-led operations aimed at arresting those involved in the violence. The police further caution traditional leaders, elders, and their supporters to strictly adhere to agreed security arrangements and refrain from actions that could disturb public peace.
Well, there's more to this because there's been more killings during festivals in the last few years. And Joy News lead data and research analyst Kofi J joins me with more. Kofi, what does the data say?
Well, so per what we've been able to count since 2021, at least 12 persons have been killed as a result of festival-related gun incidents. Mm. And unfortunately, 50% have actually come in the first 8 months of 2025, with 30% of this, you know, deaths coming from stray bullets and 70% from direct gunshots. And in fact, the Greater Accra region currently is contributing about 50% plus to the 12 deaths we've seen so far.
Thank you, Kofi, for that update. Now, there's a state of despair in the Sola Tunakalba district as makeshift camps are struggling to contain thousands of victims in the Gwinyiri conflict. From the last count, at least 48,000 individuals, including women and children, are currently seeking refuge in various camps across the area and Bole Bamboi municipal areas. An additional 14,000 residents have also fled to Vonkore in Ivory Coast, as 17 people have also been killed so far. Some of the residents who spoke to my colleague Isaac Nonya painted a grim picture of their new reality as they struggle to live on only one square meal a day. Listen.
Since the conflict, we've been wearing just one cloth. We have to wash it, rinse it, and wear it again. We want to go back home to get some of our belongings, but we can't. The women have fled, leaving everything behind, including their granites. We need help. We left everything behind. I have farms and livestock, but now I don't know what to do. All our properties are just left there.
Well, the Interior Minister Muntaka Mubarak has been to the area on Sunday and held closed-door meetings with Yabungura and other stakeholders over the development, and has tasked the NADMO to provide data on the displaced persons for immediate government action. You're still listening to the Midday News here on Joy 99.7 FM. We'll take a break. We return with sports and also recent changes in government financing for the Public Interest and Accountability Committee, PIAC, have left the body unable to pay staff salaries and hindered its capacity to monitor the management and use of petroleum revenue. Welcome back to the Midday News Sports.
Mamesi Black Stars defender Tariq Lamptey has signed a four-year deal with Fiorentina on transfer deadline day. The Italian side are reported to have paid £6 million to Brighton for the services of the right back. Now, elsewhere, Belgian goalkeeper Sene Lammens is set to join Manchester United from Royal Antwerp for €21 million. Alexander Isak is already in Liverpool undergoing a medical ahead of a £125 million switch, a British record fee. So, I may see catch more updates on the transfer deadline show on Joy Prime later today at 4 p.m.
Only them enjoy the money, so why should I, you know?
Oh, we'll give you some.
All right, thank you for sports. Now, the Public Interest and Accountability Committee, PIAC, the statutory body mandated to provide independent oversight of Ghana's petroleum revenue, is facing financial crisis that threatens its operations. Recent changes in government financing arrangements have left PIAC unable to pay the salaries of its staff. The situation has also severely constrained its ability to carry out monitoring and reporting on the management and use of petroleum funds, a core function for which the committee was established under the Petroleum Revenue Management Act. Officials warn that the funding difficulties could undermine transparency and accountability in the petroleum sector at a time when oil revenue remains a crucial component of Ghana's economy. Samuel Bequin is a member of PIAC.
And we were guaranteed funding from the petroleum revenues. Under this current government, they have amended the Petroleum Revenue Management Act. And the amendment is that they want to push a lot of the monies into big infrastructure projects. And during the amendment, whether it was an oversight or deliberate, we can't tell. But when PIAC met the president felt it was an oversight. That PIAC has been swooped away from the annual budget funding amount, which means we have been put back under the Ministry of Finance. I would say that as a result, we have to go through bureaucratic processes before we can access funding, even after our funding has been approved by the Parliament. And so it has affected our operations. To some extent, even payment of salaries to secretariat staff. Is it a political tool intentionally used by government? I could say the risk remains higher. Yeah. Is it a mere oversight? I could say yes, because the president said so.
Said it so, yeah.
So one thing I would encourage the current government, in order to ensure PIAC's independence, it's reflected in the work that we do. I think we should be put back under the ABFE.
Moving on, the Bank of Ghana is warning that Ghana's economy is losing out due to huge cash leakages. Governor of the Central Bank, Dr. Johnson Isiama, revealed that some individuals are carrying over $1 million out of the country without declaring it. Speaking on Joy News' Yet to Be Aired PM Express Business Edition this Thursday, he described the practice as a major risk to financial stability and the fight against money laundering.
If you look at the currency declaration context, you know, framework, for example, the intel we got was that some people actually take out, you know, large volumes of cash. People are carrying over $1 million just out of Ghana without declaring these. Those are leakages, right? And so as a regulator, it's for us to work together with the other, you know, regulators, GRA and the others, to ensure that if you have to carry such large sums, these are accounted for, these are declared, the sources are known, you know. And don't forget, that's also good for the anti-money laundering fight that we have on our hands. So we are just, you know, redefining, you know, the framework within which the market has to work and work efficiently. These are things we should have been enforcing. But given the context in which we are, we've seen clearly that we need to set those boundaries clearly so that the markets can function and function properly.
And you heard the governor of the Bank of Ghana, Dr. Johnson Isiama. The full interview airs this Thursday on the Joy News channel. Right about now, we're doing what's trending, and Ashi Baby, Ashi Baby.
Mami Esi, today I don't have good news for you.
Oh.
There's a sad news of a Ghanaian popular TikToker known as Elvis from Pond, popularly known as Osanju. Mami Esi, this is a guy who is quite funny, would make TikTok videos that'll get you cracking up. Even yesterday, he made a video about